the Department of Justice announced on Thursday that it's no longer going to be using private prisons to house federal inmates. Now, this is a week after an Inspector General report found that for-profit prisons did not maintain the same level of safety and security, that's a quote, as those run by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Now, the population in private federal prisons is relatively small, but the news of the DOJ's decision sent private prison stock prices through the floor. Michelle Deitch is a senior lecturer with the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs and School of Law at the University of Texas, Austin, and she's written and lectured widely about correctional oversight and prison privatization. Professor Deitch, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, this move by the federal government to basically stop using private prisons, was this a surprise?
Well, it certainly is. It represents a major turning point in criminal justice policy in this country, and many observers think it was long overdue.
Well, the country is going through an era of prison and criminal justice reform. Prisons, jails, incarceration at all levels is getting a lot more attention now. So this seems to fit into an overall spirit of reform.
Absolutely. I think we're seeing the country take a serious look at mass incarceration in this country, and prison privatization is certainly a very important element of why we've gotten to the stage we're in right now.
Well, wasn't the point here that private prisons were supposed to do at least as good a job as federal government prisons or public prisons, but for a lower cost? I mean, that was the whole idea of contracting out these prisons, I don't know, 30 years ago when this became popular.
There were two ways in which the private prison industry sold this concept. One was improved performance, and the other was cost savings. And as it's turned out, neither one of those was turned out to be true.
So why not? What's going wrong in these privately run public prisons? The report suggested that there were more instances of violence, more instances of misconduct, sexual and otherwise, more corruption. Why are they doing such a bad job?
The research has shown that most of the cost savings, to the extent that there were any, came from saving money on staffing. The private industry tends to pay officers significantly less than the public sector does. And as a result, you've got high turnover, you've got high vacancy rates and such. And all of that leads to safety violations and an inexperienced workforce, all of which lead to or contribute to violence and other problems in the facilities. Also, there's a lot of cutting corners when it comes to the provision of health care and addressing other safety needs, providing effective food services and medical care.
So the Department of Justice says it's not going to renew any of these contracts anymore, going to basically let these private prison contracts die on the vine. But this is only a small universe, only about 10% of America's total prison population is in federal prison, and only 12% of that is in these private facilities. So I guess the real question is, what's happening in the broader world? What's happening in the states with state relationships with private prison companies?
Well, I think it's important to realize that the development with the Department of Justice only affects federally contracted and Federal Bureau of Prisons contracted private prisons. So it has no impact directly on state-contracted private prisons or the Department of Homeland Security's contracts for private beds or the Marshal Service. We need to look to see what's going to be happening at the state level. Because there is such a move towards reducing mass incarceration across the country, state policymakers are looking for ways to reduce their prison populations. So many states are, in fact, looking to potentially end those private prison contracts, because they are really the easiest target when it comes to reducing the number of people who are locked up. In Texas, for example, we've recently closed two private prison facilities. There's talk about another one closing, and it's potentially there are potentially more on the horizon.
And is it fair to say that states look to the federal government? Of course, it's not dictatorial in this sense, but for guidance, what the zeitgeist is in criminal justice, and they say, well, if DOJ has done this, this is the way the prison culture is going.
I don't know if anyone's going to be looking directly to what the Department of Justice did, but it will certainly spur a conversation in legislative halls around the country. I think that it gives new force to arguments that advocates have made for many years that these facilities are unsafe and that they're not saving citizens any money. So I think we can expect to see a lot of changes and debates and discussions going on about the future of privatization in this country.
You know, Michelle Deitch, that's interesting you say that, because this is not the way this is supposed to happen, right? We have this idea of politics that big prison corporation lobbyists, they know the lawmakers, they know the staff, they're getting multi-billion dollar contracts. And that's just the way it goes. All of a sudden, it goes in the opposite direction. Not only is the federal government severing these ties, but it seems like the industry wasn't expecting it. Their stock price tumbled drastically when this happened. I mean, this is sort of the opposite of the way we think these things work.
Well, it really shouldn't be much of a surprise to anyone. I mean, news about problems in these private facilities is hardly news. It's been an issue really from the earliest days. And anyone who's been tracking the industry knows that problems of safety and security have been in the headlines for many, many years.
The Department of Justice begins to sever its ties with private prison companies that run some of the federal prisons in this country. And now the question is, will states be watching? Will states be following with their private prison contracts? Michelle Deitch, senior lecturer with the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs and School of Law at UT Austin. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.